This is San Diego Comic-Con week. This week we talk exclusives and cosplay. Cosplayers in the house this Yay! Week.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's The Con Guy, Comic-Con Prep Show.
Did you get your characters on there? All right, if we can tear ourselves away from Pokemon Go for a second.
Mine's stuck trying to load right now.
All right.
Pokemon, stop.
Welcome, this is the Comic-Con Prep Show. This week we are bringing you all of the exclusives and all of the cosplay from San Diego Comic-Con. We're about to head down. It's going to be an exciting time. My name is Jim. I'm your co-host. I'm the managing editor of theconguy.com. You can find me at theconguy.com on Twitter. That's D-O-T-C-O-M or Conguy Jim. And let me let everybody introduce themselves this week.
My name is Derek. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek. And we're not going to bring all the cosplay and all the exclusives, but whatever we can cover in the next hour.
A little tiny bit of it.
Hey, I'm Brianna. You can find me at TinkerBree on Instagram or the Twitter.
Hi, I'm Ben Cleaver. That's K-L-I-E-W-E-R, not like Leave It to Beaver. But you can find me on Twitter at Ben Cleaver or Instagrams at Ben Cleaver or whatever else is on the internet, I suppose.
And Cheeseman on the couch is not here this week, but this week we have some other guests on the couch. Who do we have?
Hi, I'm Danae, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at D-N-A-Y-S.
I'm Lara. You can find me at L-A Samara.
All right.
On Twitter.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up this week. As you guys can see, everybody is cosplaying this week except for me, but, you know, one of us has to play it straight. So,
my cosplay is subtle. So.
Before we get started, though, we want to say a special shout out to Cheeseman on the Couch. He's not on our couch in here today. He's on a couch in Ohio with his little nephew, Austin. And Austin, aww, this year is going to be attending his very first Comic-Con. It's Wizard World in Columbus. So congratulations for raising him right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Very what fun. A good uncle.
It's like his nerd mitzvah.
We have a lot to talk about this week, a whole lot to talk about. But first of all, Derek, why don't you go ahead and tell us, go over the bulletin board and tell us what's going on this week.
So this weekend, there's something called San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, that is.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it's San Diego Comic-Con. That's this weekend.
San Diego has a Comic-Con?
They do. Did you know that?
I'm not familiar with
it. I feel like
all.
I've
is
heard
that like
of
where
it.
Shamu is? Or?
I think so. Blackfish. Truth. Hashtag truth.
Anyway, that's this weekend, July 21st through 24th, with the preview night on Wednesday, July 20th, which you probably already knew about because we've been talking about it. But that's this week. Then Fandom Fest in Louisville, Kentucky, the next weekend, July 29th through 31st. Mm-hmm. After that, Scare LA in Pasadena, August 6th through 7th.
It's coming up in just 3 weeks. And always remember, you get tickets, you get a 20% discount if you put ConGuy in when you ordering your tickets. I just got distracted. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Keep going.
Is it just ConGuy?
ConGuy. C-O-N-G-U-Y. Put it in when you're buying your tickets.
G-U-Y.
C-O-N-G-U-Y.
Get a 20% discount.
Scare LA is the spookiest con, I believe.
It's up in Pasadena. It's awesome.
And I mean, everyone's favorite Mistress of the Dark is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, Elvira is going to be there.
As well as, what was the other thing, babe?
And I just said everyone's favorite Mistress of the Dark.
No, the other thing that's there.
Oh, there's serial killer speed dating.
Serial killer speed
that's
dating.
That's
awful in every way.
I just wanted her to say serial killer speed dating on
Isn't that just regular speed dating?
Yeah.
It's also often a preview of Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Yes. Still safer than Tinder. And Knott's Berry Farm.
Good point.
Yeah. And then let's see. The same weekend, August 5th through 7th, Tampa Bay Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So if you're on the East Coast and can't get to San Diego, you can go down to Tampa maybe. And then Vancouver Comic and Entertainment Expo. Did they say that was canceled?
Okay, yeah, we just want to let everybody know. If you were planning on going to the Vancouver Comic and Entertainment Expo August 5th through the 7th, it's been canceled. We don't know why, but
that's really sad.
You're not
that's
going.
That's sad. Sorry, Vancouver.
Come to America.
Yeah.
wait a few months, then see how things pan out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just come visit for our cons. At least. Okay.
Trump's building a wall. Be careful.
Yeah.
Pre-November.
Boston Comic Con is August 12th through 14th. And then Amazing Houston Comic Con, September 9th through 11th, which probably Emma and Elena will be down there for that.
Yep.
And they can bring back coverage.
Elena and Emma are getting ready for San Diego Comic Con this week. They send their regrets, but they will see us down there. So, is that all you got for this week?
That is all we have.
All right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of news we want to go over because we do want to jump into our Comic Con news. But we do have some Comic Con news. For one, I have this magazine here. This is Entertainment Weekly. This is their special Comic-Con preview this week. But if you notice inside, they have this big ad for ConX. Entertainment Weekly is having this big festival down at Comic-Con, which is very cool, out behind Comic-Con at, in the park on the water. And it's kind of like they have all these free panels, concerts, events, relaxation stations, charging your phone stations. Entertainment Weekly, they're going big this year. It's kind
of
cool.
I assume a lot of nudity because it's called ConX.
Oh, no, I think that's actually like they're mutated.
Oh, I see. So like, I see. Never mind then. Yeah. Never mind then.
I would have had a whole lot more visitors that way. But like,
lots of nudity. Go.
I know that the con man with Nathan Fillion and Alan Turing is going to be there. The cast of Teen Wolf's going to be there.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is going to be there.
And it's on Saturday.
Completely free. It's out there on the stage. And so make sure you guys get a chance. If you get a chance, go down there and check that out. I don't even think you need a Comic-Con badge to get down to that, if I am not mistaken.
If it's outside of the convention center, more likely than not, you don't need the badge. Yeah, some events you still need a badge, but most of them you don't. So.
And just to clarify, this is not an invitation to their invite-only party on Saturday night. So... And just so you know, if you can check out our website or go to the Hollywood Reporter, the list of all the parties for Comic-Con has been released. There are a couple that probably some of us can get into. What parties, do you guys know of any of the parties that are happening that are probably open that people can get into?
The biggest one that I know of and that Bree and I are going to be attending is Rave of Thrones, okay. And that's on Thursday night. Let me pull up the information real quick I got here.
It's Rave of Thrones. It's by Legion M. It's going to be at the Omnia. And then on Friday, there's the free SDCC after party at the Mission Brewery from 7 to 11 p.m. That's through that hashtag show, WordCon, and Nerds Like Us.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There you go.
And I think Friday night also is the Nerd HQ open free party.
I think so.
But yeah. You have to go there and get a wristband so you can get into that.
Yeah, that one's been getting way more and more. That's not correct English. That one's been getting more and more popular every year.
Yeah, it's bigger all the time. Yeah. Now, for NerdHQ, you can download the app and you can register ahead of time, and then you just go and kind of check in and get the wristband.
Right on.
I think that saves you a little bit of time
rather than trying
to register there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
but it's all free.
There's the complaint. Most of the parties are invite-only, RSVP only, but most of us will not be going to a lot of those parties. That's no big deal, because Comic-Con has programming going late into the night this year. Plus, there are a number of off-sites that are happening. We are going... You're not going.
No.
I have a buddy who's in the room that we will not show his face. I promise I would not show his face. So we're going to the Wayward Cocktails party, the Supernatural party, which is going to be awesome on Thursday night. But there's also something else that's happening Thursday night. Is it Thursday night? When's the AfterBuzz thing?
I'm pretty sure that's on Thursday.
I think everyone heard you, Jim.
I know.
You're referring to our AfterBuzz host party that is Thursday night at 1919.
Thursday night at 1919. Come on out to the AfterBuzz host party. You can meet all of us, meet your favorite AfterBuzz host. It's just kind of like a way to, it's just a meetup. Come on out and have some fun. Be checking out our website, be checking out the tweets, and we want everyone to be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope to see you guys there.
There you go.
All right. I don't think we have a whole lot of other news about Comic-Con. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, though, when it comes to cosplay, when it comes to exclusives. We're going to start with exclusives, because we have a whole lot more to talk about when it comes to cosplay. So.
Oh, there was one big news thing. Last 24 hours, or... Well, yesterday, wasn't it? They announced that Pokemon Go...
Oh, let's talk about that for a second. Let's
I wasn't playing earlier.
I'm not talking about Pokemon Go enough.
No.
But, yeah. But the founder and CEO of Niantic, what's his name, John, I don't know actually how you say his last name, but it's Hank or Henke.
Uh-huh.
But they were going to do the panel in one of these 480-seat rooms, but because Pokemon Go is way more popular than anyone could have possibly anticipated, they've moved that to Hall H, you know, the big room.
Of course.
Wow. And I think it's Sunday, but check your schedule. I think that
I was just reading about it. I think it is Sunday.
Yeah, I love that it moved from a 480 seat room to a 6,500 seat room.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's Sunday at 1:45.
Yeah, like myself, Derek, and Danae, we went down to Disneyland yesterday with our friend in the room who will not be named, and then on the way down and on the way back, you guys were like so stoked, like playing.
We caught an Onyx.
There was an Onyx in Cars Land. Just hanging out.
Yeah, just Onyx there. Like that's
right next to
how long has it been out? Out now? Like a week.
Like a
week.
Not
even.
Week.
Two.
No, maybe a couple weeks. It's been at least 2 weeks.
10 days?
No.
Because I know I was late downloading it.
10 days. There you go.
Yeah.
I know that the value of the company got shot up by $9 billion in 1 week.
Good night.
Because of that one game. So, welcome back, Nintendo.
If I was an investing man.
All right.
If I had money to invest.
So let's go ahead and talk about... I know, wouldn't it be great?
If only I had some extra cash instead of crippling debt.
So listen,
I like how it just got quiet. We just
kind of everybody was just like, too real, man, too real.
I can't laugh.
Too sad, too sad.
Well, there's a Spiro in the room, so I got distracted.
Oh, is it really? Where is it? It's on the table right here. Whoever wants to get it right now, right?
Oh, here, I'll grab it.
While she tries to grab that, let's go ahead and talk about exclusives. Now, for those of you who are not completely familiar with exclusives, when people come to the conventions, they come for a couple of different things. She's grabbing it off the table, right?
I am grabbing it off the table. It's on the ground right there. I got to get it.
They either come for the panels and all the cool guests they can see. Sometimes a lot of people come for the cosplay. Or the third item that I think people are really passionate about when it comes to these things is exclusives. Now, by exclusives, basically stuff you can get at the conventions that you can't get anywhere else. I am not going
quote
to...
Quote-unquote.
Which is a topic we'll talk about in just a second. But I'm not going to pretend like I am an expert on exclusives. There are a couple of things I do want to get this year. Hasbro has something this year I am super stoked about, and if I can't find it, I'd be very, very sad. But when it comes to exclusives, usually the way it works is a lot of these companies, they announce their exclusives ahead of time. You go to the booth, you pick up your exclusive there, you find a way to get it. Or in recent years, you can start ordering your exclusives online and get it sent to your house, which I don't understand. Can you guys explain to me your idea of exclusives? Like, I want to know, like, because this is a little bit of a thing back and forth. What really is an exclusive to you?
Do you want to take it?
You go right ahead, honey.
Well, I think the appeal of exclusives is, you know, for a long time, back when conventions, particularly San Diego Comic-Con, wasn't the phenomenon it is now, is you could go to a convention and get your Kotobukiya, the Kotobukiya exclusive figure or a pop vinyl or something like that that's only going to be available at Comic-Con 2012 or whatever you want to. And, you know, that's the only time. And then months later, they would come out on eBay because some jerk went in and bought four of them and then decided to sell them on eBay.
Entrepreneur.
For $125 a piece or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's still the appeal now, is that you can be the first one to get one if you go, you get up at the butt crack of dawn, you go line up outside of the convention center, wait until the doors open at 10 or 9 or whenever they open, go in, get in line for the booth, and get to the front and buy one of these things. But then the trend that's been starting more recently is that Hot Topic or any of the companies will release them on their website a few hours or maybe a day or a week after the convention. And it's mostly the bigger conventions that have these, like Wizard World or
San Diego Comic-Con and New York Comic-Con. They have these big exclusives, alternate covers on comic books, and things that are marked convention exclusive. Now, you were kind of rolling your eyes right here. You weren't so happy about it, right?
Well, because, I mean, you go and you want to go shopping. You're like, I have money. I want to give you my money. And you get there and you find out, oh, I had to be in line yesterday morning at 9 a.m. To get in line to get a wristband, to wait in line today, to wait in line to buy a thing that's going to be out in 6 months.
Let's talk about, for example, one of the most popular exclusive providing companies there is Funko.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can we talk about what's the process like to get a Funko toy?
Yeah, so I looked that up, and you have to go into the sales pavilion early in the morning. You have to get a wristband, and then you could possibly be chosen to get in line to maybe buy something that will possibly be sold out by the time you get to the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather sleep.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Like, I'll just shell out the money on eBay later. Like, oh, it's $50. Oh, it's $100. Do I really want that character? Yes, I do. Bye.
And like you said, I think Hot Topic, Funko's been releasing a lot of their toys, a lot of their products on Hot Topic day of. I don't swear to that, but I've heard some people talk, like last year they were standing in line for the Funko booth and it's online, get out of line, and just it's a lot easier that way. I know that Like, Cheeseman is not here this week, but last year he wanted to get a jaw shark, the one that had the blood on it, not the one, the other one. And yeah. It was only available at the con, and I remember because we were trying to get this thing, we'd go down, at the time that we got a ticket to go down to the booth, we'd show up and say, oh, well, we decided to open up the line an hour ago. Like, but that's not what you told us.
Right.
So we get a line, so we say, he goes, come back the next day at this time. We came back like 10 minutes before that time. Oh, we're sorry. We opened it up 2 hours ago because we had a lot of people here. We're like, come on. And that's why we kind of deemed it the cluster funko. But he never got it. But he went home, got online at Toys R Us. Now he's got it.
Well, and I think that's part of the thing, because I remember last year we were walking by the Funko setup.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a booth. It's an event.
Yeah.
And there were like 10 people in line, and we walked up. We're like, oh, there's only 10 people in line. Let's go up. I want to, because I was like, oh, it's the C-3PO with the red arm pop. Right. I could, that's cool. I'll check it out. And we walked up there, and they're like, oh, no, this is the line that you have to have.
A wristband,
like, or a ticket to get in this line.
We're like, where did those even come from?
And we're like, and they're like, oh, you have to walk out to Tijuana and
who
go get the badges there.
Yeah. Well, to their credit, though, I am probably the worst to rag on companies like that, but I think Funko is going out of their way to try to make it smoother this year, although the way you described it doesn't sound easy at all.
Well, and
yeah,
I think
none of it's guaranteed.
I think the biggest issue is that the whole nerd geek culture has blown up so much over the last half decade or even 10 years, basically since Iron Man came out.
Yeah.
The whole geek culture has exploded so much that everybody wants to get in on it now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're getting into it for an entrepreneurial venture or whether they genuinely just want to fill their house
with entrepreneurial. I wasn't correcting the way you said it. I'm just putting the quotes around it.
I have a college degree. Anyway, but whether they're trying to get into it for that or whether they want to fill their house with useless toys like I do, or she does.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have over 50 pops.
That's a lie. You know, it's everybody wants to get in on it, so they have to figure out some way to be at least somewhat fair to get people the products they want.
And to be fair, like, Funko, not only do they have the booth set up, and we'll get off Funko in a second, but they are one of the biggest collectibles distributors there. You got to go to Sales Pavilion, like you said, hopefully get a wristband, to hopefully get in line, to hopefully get a chance at what you want to get. But they're also having Funko Fridays, which is a big off-site event where you go in and everybody can get what they want there. But that's sold out, so nobody can go to that. That's sold out in like a minute.
Right. Of course. Like Comic-Con badges.
Yeah. Like Comic-Con badges. But let's talk about some strategies for actually getting what you want. For example, if you have something, let's say you want something from, let's move away from Funko. Let's move on to the Mattels, the Hasbros. The Legos. You know, if there is something you see, what is your best advice for getting that item that you are dying to have?
Pay a homeless person to stand in line for you.
Wow.
That actually was happening last year.
It was happening last year.
That's the sad thing. But
it creates a large space around them in line.
But you know what?
Oh, I just got that.
I think the thing to do is to do your research ahead of time. Like, have the exclusives you care the most about. Check those websites frequently. See when stuff's going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Follow them on Twitter and sign up to get notifications so that it pops up on your phone as soon as they make an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know where to go and get in line. You can get there early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know if there's any way to really guarantee you getting it, but that's the best way to do it. Then, of course, like we were saying, you know, be checking eBay and Amazon and see when stuff becomes available somewhere else, if it does.
Well, and that's the thing. You hit the nail on the head. You got to do your research, and you got to realize that with San Diego Comic-Con, you got to pick and choose your battles, so to speak.
Yeah.
You can
like,
get
just like the
things.
Panels and the autographs and stuff. You can't do everything. You've got to pick your favorites.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, who has something that they're going to try to get this year? Who has something that they... Okay. Danae, what are you looking for and why?
Well, Fox, their panel is releasing, their booth is releasing like a, it's a Candyland-themed board, but it's Bob's Burgers.
Oh.
So it's all the characters in place of the Candyland board. So if, I guess if you had, like, a Candyland cards, you could still play, but they're all Bob's Burgers, and you're Bob trying to get around his whole family.
That's hilarious.
Are you a big Bob's Burgers fan?
No, not at all. That's why the picture he posted of me is totally not Luis.
I don't know if we've seen it yet, but we'll try to go through those pictures in a second. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I have something that I'm super stoked about. When I was a little kid, One of my favorite toy lines was this thing called the Micronauts. These little it's super nerdy. These little interchangeable, like you had the Time Traveler, and Biotron, and Microton, and a Croyer, all these little bitty toys. And then it spawned a comic book line, which I subscribed to back in the days when they were still in stores. And then I was alive when comic books switched over to specialty shops, and I started mowing my aunt's lawn to make enough money to, and she took me down to get my subscription once a month. But anyways, Micronauts are back. The comic book is back. So this year, the interchangeable world of the Micronauts is back in a classic collection. I want to find these. There's like a group. There's a Croyer, Time Traveler. I don't know. I don't remember what that one is. But
you're a big fan. Sound like you're a big fan.
But you get. But then you get Micronauts. The relaunch. They've relaunched the Micronauts comic book as well. So you get a copy of the comic book,
That's really cool.
You get these collectibles. I'm super stoked about that. If you find that and you find me on the floor, if anyone's out there, give it to me. Help me get to it. All right?
Absolutely.
That is what I'm looking for. Does anyone else have something that they're looking for?
Nickelodeon's doing a lot of fun stuff at their booth. Like, they're doing a little plush Spunky from Rocko's Modern Life, and I'm kind of like, I need him in my life. He's so cute.
Well, I always love checking out the Lego booth and seeing their exclusives. One thing that they announced was putting out a minifigure of the Atom from Legends of Tomorrow, which, okay, I don't watch Legends of Tomorrow, but I do think that's kind of fun. I'm not as excited about that as I was about the DeLorean, which was first. It just premiered at Comic-Con. I think it was 2012 or 2013. But also, you had something else that was like...
Well, Lego, they have these... Mm-hmm. And this was announced in USA Today, but it's kind of cool. They have exclusive DC and Marvel sets. Like, these Legos... Yeah. What are they called?
And they're not minifigures, but they're sets where you actually build the characters.
Yeah. You build, like... a Captain America and an Iron Man, or a Batman. It's like a Batman and a Doctor Strange. It's kind of weird. It's like DC and... Is it?
Are those two different sets that just happen to be side by
side? Nobody can see my screen, so...
I can't see your computer screen.
I'm looking at your screen.
But anyways, exclusive DC and Marvel sets will be available only at Comic-Con before hitting retail outlets next year. They're $40 for the set. And they'll be at the Lego booth. If you can't make it, just follow Lego on Twitter to get those. So these are kind of cool. It's the, your favorite superheroes and sets, and you build these together. And I'm surprised they haven't done that before. But and then Factory Entertainment has a Stan Lee plush. It's a 15-inch plush, and I guess Stan Lee has recorded like 15 different phrases for it.
She
squeezed it. As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, I hope it talks.
I know, Factory, so go to Factory.
Excelsior.
It's $125, so it's a little bit more expensive. But
it's probably worth it, though.
Oh, no. God loves Stan Lee. He's going to be there this year. They're doing a spotlight on him. We don't know how much longer we're going to have this treasure. Yeah. So
Don't say that.
No. He's going to be around for another 100 years. But
2016 has already taken enough.
I know. So I'm super stoked about that. That one, and then Hot Wheels from Mattel. They have a cool thing this year where, you know, like in the olden days, the Hot Wheels they go on the track and they have all these different things. This year they're going to be racing through the canyons of the Death Star. The Hot Wheels are going to be the little your X-wing fighters going through the Death Star. And this is a very cool set. It's selling for around $50. So and they oh. They light up and like they're shooting lasers too. So
that's awesome.
Really
cool.
For a really a nice Hot Wheels set like that, that's not a bad price.
It's really
It's really good. That's really good. And there's so many things, but let me give you the name of a couple places where you guys should go online and check out. Factory Entertainment. They have some great exclusives. And I'm going to give you the name of some companies that check them online, follow them on Twitter. Fugitive Toys, Gentle Giant, Hallmark. Hallmark has some ornaments and some exclusives. They got some really cool stuff this year, and they sell out every year. Kid Robot, Marvel Comics, of course. They have some Marvel Comics and DC Comics at every one of these big conventions. They have the covers that you can only get at the convention, which is really cool. Yeah. Monster High has some cool new figures coming out this year. Just a couple more: Mondo, Sideshow Collectibles, Titan Entertainment, Skybound. That's just I'm barely scratching the surface of companies that will have exclusives this year. And again, go online, see if you can get these exclusives online and pick them up at the booth. That's going to save you a lot of headache instead of trying to get in line and fight everybody at the booth, which is half the fun, though. Mm-hmm. You have to admit.
Part of going to a comic book convention is suffocating in a sea of people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just kind of part of the experience.
Yeah.
Pack deodorant.
But nobody does that.
That's part of the fun, though.
Danae and Derek do.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But that's part of the fun, is being, you're packed in with people who are there for the same thing that you're there for.
Exactly.
And if you're standing in line for the same thing, you've got a common interest already. and it's a place where you can just make friends with strangers.
You can make new friends.
Kind
absolutely.
Of like when you're playing Pokemon Go, just in the middle of town, and you see other people with their phones out like this. Like you,
I don't get it.
You look at each other and you smile because you both know what you're up to.
Oh, I was driving through town earlier today, and I'm at a stoplight, and I look over, and there's some chick walking her dog just doing this on her phone, and I'm like, I know exactly what you're doing. Yeah.
It's terrible in LA traffic. You're weaving through, and everybody, all the cars are weaving. You look in, and everybody's. But a couple other sites that you might want to check out that will really help you to find some of the exclusives you're looking for. Of course, theconguy.com. Check us out.
I've heard of that one.
We will be listing a lot of exclusive sites, different things, ways you can get exclusive this week on our website, theconguy.com. Also, go to Big Bad Toy Store, bigbadtoystore.com. They have a list of a ton of Comic-Con exclusives. Go to Toy Hype USA, Toy Hype USA, and then also Awesome Toy Blog. Awesome Toy Blog actually has a comprehensive list of like dozens and dozens of companies and everything they're going to be offering at Comic-Con, including Funko, including, you know, Kid Robot, including a bunch of these things. Also, a couple of, go to Tony Kim. He has a great site called Crazy for Comic-Con. They will be listing tons of exclusives there. And then also, of course, the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. Nobody does it better than them when it comes to investigating all the exclusives, listing wave after wave of exclusives. I am tired. That's a whole lot of information. There's no way for us to be able to tell everybody all the exclusives are coming up because there's hundreds upon hundreds of those. But let's get to something equally as fun, cosplay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about cosplay. In the room right now, we have a few people that are amongst us in cosplay. First of all, let's see if we can guess who these people are. Do you guys know who we have sitting next to us? What's the cosplay?
Well, the far left, well, or right, if you're watching, that's
that's Han Solo, right?
Yeah, Han Solo.
No,
exactly.
His alter ego.
No, it's the guy from Working Girl.
I'm actually cross-playing as a male Laura Croft. Is what that's what I'm doing.
All right, but seriously. Dun-dun-dun-dun!
Yes.
Yeah. Okey-dokey, Dr. John.
Brianna and I, Indiana Jones in Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I would like to point out, and here's a key point about cosplay, which I think is fun, because a lot of people, when they do a Short Round cosplay, they'll just throw on the New York Yankees baseball cap, which is fine. If that's what you can grab,
totally great.
That's great. It's fine. Cosplay is about having fun and doing your thing. But what's more fun sometimes is really researching and figuring out what you can get. So we've put her actually in what they used in the film, which is a 1929 New York Baseball Giants baseball cap.
How's that for
attention to detail?
Yeah.
That's getting into the details. Real detail, you know, the real detailed stuff. So the really obscure.
I think we're going to be running a few pictures on screen. There's a picture of Ben right now.
Is that what we're seeing on screen right now? That is actually, let me plug, that is a John York photo. Yep. John York is a photographer who does a lot of cosplay at conventions. Fantastic.
And so what are we looking at for people who
this is
looking?
Me as Captain America.
All right. And then,
if we have the next one. This one's
that's one
fantastic.
Of me from Topher Oriel. Nice. He edited awesome. That and took that photo. That is me and my Princess Kylo.
That's cool.
That's Disney nice. Princess Kylo Ren, our
Ball
favorite
gown.
Disney princess, by the way.
Also,
Disney Princess Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
our favorite Disney princess.
Fantastic. I like her as well.
I have to say, made for me by my roommate, Chad Hatter.
All right.
He does all the sewing.
At Chad Hatter on... Well, on Instagram specifically, the Twitter handle is different, I believe. But if you look him up on Instagram, it's at Chad Hatter.
And he's a costume designer.
And he's a costume designer. He's very talented and works very hard.
Okay.
But yeah, so that one was great. That one was actually from what was it WonderCon this year? Is that right?
Yeah, that was WonderCon.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your experience with cosplay? How did you fall into this?
I fell into it by accident. Yeah. I went to school with a really good friend of mine. Her name's Elise. She's the sweetest person ever. And I saw on Facebook she was like dressing up as characters. I was like, well, it's not Halloween, but that really looks like fun. Can I come with you? And she's like, yeah, like, come on. If you have any questions, like, I'll help you put together an outfit. And ever since then, it was just like, this is so cool. Like, I went dressed as the doctor, and my friend dressed up as Rose, and all these people are like, hey, let's take your photo. And we were like, wait, but we're not, you want photos with us? Okay. And it just sort of snowballed from there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love it.
And Ben?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned last week, I kind of fell bass-ackwards into the cosplay world just through friends who... I used to go to San Diego Comic-Con once a year. That was my only convention, and I just went to kind of go look at stuff wide-eyed and not know what was going on, and then I got involved with a group of friends who were really into it, and this was actually my first cosplay that I made for WonderCon 2014, I believe. 2015.
It's the year I met you, right?
So you better not forget what year that is.
Well, I was trying to remember which year it was, but it was WonderCon 2015. That's what it was, because that was the last time it was in Anaheim before it came to LA this year.
It's going back to Anaheim next year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for, because it was weird having it in LA this year.
It was very strange.
Anyway. But this was the first cosplay I did, and my thing is, like, I pay attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the New York Giants hat. But... and I was just like, I was putting this together. I'm like, oh, I want to get it right. And I assumed I would go and there would be 50 guys with way better Indiana Jones cosplays than me.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was going to care. And I was fine with that. And I think that's what cosplay should be. It's like you make it for yourself.
Right.
You wear it because you want to wear it. And it brings you joy to dress up as your favorite character. And I went and I got stopped probably 50 times for pictures.
I was there.
Yeah.
I remember that's one of the times I bumped into you. But so what's the difference? Wait. We'll get back to that in a second.
Do it.
Let's introduce our guests on the couch. And what Laura and Danae, why don't you guys tell us about what you guys are wearing?
Oh, I'm red.
I sound like we're on the red carpet. Who are you
wearing? Who are you wearing?
I'm wearing old clothes that I found in the bottom of a drawer, and I dyed in tea.
Okay.
In various forms. No, but I did a Rey cosplay, and like the only thing that I had to really buy was the fabric for her shoulders and the belt, because I'm not nearly as detailed as you guys are. But
that's fine.
Yeah,
it's totally okay.
It's about having fun. It's not judging people. Like my wristband is a bracelet.
Let's see that wristband.
It's a bracelet with West Virginia on it.
So that's where
the authentic red.
Salvation Army did you pick that up at?
Cracker Barrel.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Tell us a little bit about the shoes and how you put everything together.
Well, for the shoes, that was like the hardest part. But I was talking to a girl at Walmart and I was trying to figure out what to do. And she was like, oh, just get some fuzzy fabric and like make a pair of spats. So they're over top of a pair of my Toms because they're comfortable and they have arch support and I can walk around in them all day.
There you go.
I found these shorts in my house and I hemmed them and dyed them. And then this was just like an old t-shirt that I dyed in tea and cut the sleeves off of.
All right,
and
cool.
This was perfect. A long sleeve shirt that I cut the sleeves off of and dyed in
inventive, deep. Creative.
Yeah, and it's not going to like slide and unravel all day. No. That's the hair I just figured out.
Oh yeah, let's see the hair. So how'd you figure out how to do Ray's hair?
Clips and hair bands and combs and trial and error.
And the internet.
And the internet. I didn't go on the internet. I figured it out by myself. I found one on the internet and I was like, mine looks pretty good compared to that.
She put the Blu-ray of Force Awakens in and just worked for hours.
All right, yep. All right. And then Laura, this is your first time visiting us today.
Yeah.
I have seen you at quite a few cons.
Yes, I go every year, but last year was the first time I actually was on the convention floor.
Yeah.
I kind of was in the camp of, I'm just going to go and hang out because there's so much happening outside of the con. And, but this year, I'm not going to be on the convention floor. I'm just going to hang out with you all.
Yep.
But yeah, I never dressed up before, and I'm kind of like super opposite of all of you guys. I'm just like, what's in my closet? Let's just put that on. So I'm just kind of a generic, I'm running for my life from the zompocalypse. Yeah.
We got really awesome holsters on, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we went to WonderCon. No. Well, we had a thing. We had a
cosplay crash.
Yeah. And then so we went as Nathan Drake and Lara Croft. So these are kind of like holsters from that. And I'm like,
you have a pretty awesome Lara Croft cosplay.
Yeah,
that
we'll
together.
Be doing that
and
sometime
great
this week.
Because your name is Laura.
Yeah. And my name is Laura.
And let's see if we get Derek. What are you cosplaying as tonight?
I'm J.J. Abrams from his TED Talk, which goes with anything Star Wars. So, it barely looks like I'm cosplaying at all. But I just wore black and glasses that I already had. But I did make this.
There you go.
Yes.
So
I do like to go clever and offbeat with cosplay stuff. I like to go simple and cheap too. But I like to get stuff that not everybody gets, and then if somebody does, you just have a really special moment that you share with that person. Like
Tell
with
me
my
more. Tell me more about Super 8.
By the way, really quick, I think that we are seeing a photograph of you two. What is this that we're looking at right now?
There we are.
Oh, yeah, that's us at Club Cosplay.
Yeah, we were at Club Cosplay one night. She is dressed as the 11th Doctor, and I am Dracula. It's a kind of a variation on Dracula. It's a combination between the Bram Stoker's Dracula film and Grandpa Munster from the Munsters remake.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Very inventive.
Yeah.
And I think in a second we're also going to see a picture of what Derek... Derek, describe what we're looking at.
This is my sister Danae from the couch here.
Everybody's about to sneeze in that picture.
And that's me as Louise and Tina from Bob's Burgers, which, you know, if you watch Bob's Burgers, you know Tina is voiced by a male voice actor, so it makes sense.
Dan Mintz.
Yeah, Dan Mintz, thank you. It makes sense to dress up that way. And then, of course, that's Luke next to us. Cosplaying as a drunk guy.
Yep, cosplaying as the cheese.
He did a really good job. The cheese. So let's talk. What are some of the things when people San Diego is seen as one of the it's like going to the prom of cosplay. It's one of the biggest events for cosplay in the country. What are some of the things that you guys are looking forward to? What are some of the things that people can that are into cosplay or really want to improve their cosplay? What are some things they can attend? Any kind of panels or anything?
Absolutely. The first one I would say is Cosplay 101. That's going to have Chrissy Lynn, and it's going to have Kaylin Ashley. And who else is in that one?
Don Banks and Ashley Traub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're the main four speakers, I believe.
Do you guys know them?
Yes, we
actually know all four of those folks. Nice. And
it's Friday at 10 a.m.
They're very talented individuals. They actually have a lot of really great information. Kaylin Ashley was a contestant on Face Off.
Okay.
So she's a special effects makeup. She's actually done some prosthetic work with you.
In the Princess Kylo outfit, she did the cut that goes across my face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very good. Very good.
Very talented. But all of those ladies, plus I think there's one or two other folks that are going to be at that panel as well, that their names escape me at the moment. But it's going to be very informative, and we're actually going to be attending just to be supportive, but also, you know, to learn stuff, because it's always fun to learn new stuff from people who know what they're talking about. So.
What else? What else do we have?
Then Friday at 5, there's From Cosplayer to Hollywood Creative with the people who did the Cosplay Dreams 3D documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then my roommate, Chad Hatter, is going to be one of the members because he was featured in that documentary last year.
That's cool.
And it's all talking about how you take... you know, being a cosplayer and trying to make a career out of it and how you can look at it from a management side and trying to, you know, make it worth your while, because sometimes you put so much money and so much effort into this to not make, you're losing money if you're going to cosplay. Like, know that. Like, if you're going to go into it, do it because you love it, because you are going to lose money.
And that's an excellent point to make, because I think ultimately what some people can... forget about this whole thing is that cosplay is still a hobby. Like, there's an extremely small fraction of a percentage of people that are actually making any kind of money off of cosplay through selling prints or anything, and I'm talking about people like Ivy Doomkitty or Jessica Negri and Leanna Vamp and those types of folks. They're making, you know, some income off of this, but most of the time it's what it always has been, which is a hobby. And it's kind of turned into this thing where people will show up to conventions for the sole purpose of being a cosplayer at the convention and posting up and having photographers take pictures of them, and which is all fine and good. And
yeah, it's great.
We actually kind of realized we had started getting into that, and then we were like, wait, we're kind of missing some of the stuff that we came to the convention
for.
You
were so upset when you realized you missed the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, I felt so bad.
I missed the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel both at Comic-Con last year and at WonderCon. Oh. And
yeah,
I was,
that was my fault.
And well,
that ball gown got in the way.
It was both of our faults, but you know, and it was all for the fun of doing cosplay and that sort of stuff, and that's fine, and if that's what you want to go do, that's great, but it is a hobby. You're gonna spend money on it like you would any hobby, but if it's bringing you joy, just make sure that you can pay your bills and your rent and do that whole
thing. Now, speaking of hobby, you are I want to know, because you just have a love of cosplay.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, what can we expect to see from you this year?
At
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine is definitely a hobby. I'd say cosplay is just, like, another way to immerse yourself in the fandom.
Yeah.
Like, I spent less than $20 on each of my cosplays. I'm only doing three. I just have my Louise.
Only doing three.
Only.
I have, like, my Louise dress from last year. I just bought, like, a pair of ears on Etsy for, like, $20.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a gender swap Daryl Dixon, because you guys are doing Glenn and Maggie gender
yes,
swap.
Also nice. Gender swap.
Yeah.
So, I got a wig I'm kind of excited about.
So, who are you going to be?
I'm going to be Maggie. Well.
And you're going to be Daryl?
I'm going to be Glenn.
Glenn. I'm going to be Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so confused.
I was able to throw, like, you know, Daryl just wears, like, solid collar clothes, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, oh yeah, my husband cosplayed him a couple years ago, I have the vest, and he never wore it again, have it. So I just got a vest for free, and then
you have a toy.
Well,
bow.
That, yeah, that happens too cosplay. Like,
yeah, you just
like,
talk
oh,
to people,
you know,
like most of this, I figured out because my mom was like, oh well, what if you just did this, and it would be so much easier and a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a great idea.
Yeah. our mom really wants to go to Comic-Con, and one of these days we're going to just fly her out.
Wow.
And for those of you don't know, this is Derek's sister.
Yes, this is my sister and my fiance on the couch, by the way.
That's a big family affair right here. The rest of us just feel so left out.
Right. It's kind of funny. Actually, last year at WonderCon, some guy came up and got a picture with Brianna and I, and then he's like, it was awesome getting a picture with you, Rick and Glenn, and then walked off.
Yeah.
And
we were like, no.
I guess I can understand how he would think that. I am losing the battle against this chair.
Yes, you are.
It just keeps, I keep going down like the Titanic, but that's okay.
So, what's another one? What's another something? Is there any other panels that would be good for people to check out? Or events? Are there any events that people might be interested in?
Well, I would say that there's going to be a bunch of cosplay photography meetups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get 6,000 people together that are all dressed like Marvel Comics characters, and they all take one big picture with 98 photographers in front of them. That happens at every convention. Those, I can't tell you when and where those are
happening.
No,
you'd have to search on Facebook, but like you can find like the 501st meetup, which is the Star Wars one, and then, you know, the Marvel one or the Disney one, or everyone's just invited, just show up and go.
All the Jokers have a meetup this year.
There
sure,
you go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure meetup.com, people are probably using that to
plan
to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually a really good point.
But there's a site on Facebook. It's about all the San Diego Comic-Con offsites. If you go on there, I think James Hayes? I wish I had his name in front of me.
Sounds familiar.
Anyways, he is maintaining this list of all the meetups, and it's a really good site. So go on Facebook, look up San Diego Comic-Con offsites, and find his site, and you will be able to get everything. We have a pretty good comprehensive list on our site as well.
Right.
So you can check that out.
And what's that website again, Jim?
TheConGuy.com.
Oh, thanks.
And I do know the League of Hatters, which is Mad Hatter cosplayers.
I
want
to go to that. Just to watch.
They will be meeting up to do... I think they meet up for a little photo shoot, and then they just run around and wreak havoc at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Drinking tea. And
I wonder how many steampunk ones you can find.
Oh, yeah.
At least 50%.
My roommate made a teacup holster.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Chad Hatter did the... what is it? Safari Hatter from the new film.
He did Safari Hatter from the new one.
The Alice Through the Looking Glass, and he made like a holster for a tea cup and saucer. It's
so cool.
Pretty ridiculous. But.
So, let's talk for a second about the Masquerade, the San Diego Comic Con Masquerade, which is a huge event, and they have prizes. They have people that there was a. Did you guys see the documentary a couple years ago about the people that the cosplayers that tried all year to get into the Masquerade? It was a pretty cool documentary. What was that? Journey to Comic-Con or something like that. But have you guys ever entered that, or do you know anyone who has ever entered the Masquerade?
Oddly enough, I was in it last year.
You were in the Masquerade?
I was in it last year with her roommate, Chad Hatter, who's a friend of mine, and we did Into the Woods.
Okay.
Oh.
So
into
we did an Into the Woods sketch. Yeah, Into the Woods. So we had, it was a group of probably like 10 or 12 of us.
There were a lot of people
and
to wrangle.
That's a great group cosplay idea.
Yeah, it was huge. And I was the big bad wolf.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's a really involved process because you have to apply like a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is...
Well, I think about maybe 3 months in advance.
Well, yeah. The thing is, we got into it because Chad had been in it for like the last 4 or 5 years running. Like he had been part of this group and he brought in his own group of like 5 people and then added several of us that he had met within the last year and a half. And it's like the big thing is like they come in and they judge your craftsmanship on the on the costumes, and they look at, they like opened up our costumes and looked at the seams inside.
Wow.
And, like,
so it doesn't all happen on the stage, what we're seeing as an audience.
Exactly. Right. The stage is kind of just the final presentation, mm-hmm. and I think it developed into like a performance.
Right.
You know, it used to just be like they'd come out and show their costume. I think this was way back in the day, and then they'd walk off stage, and then it started becoming a thing of like, oh, there's a performance aspect to right. it, which is fantastic. But yeah, so we did that last year. We did Into the Woods, and like I said, we had a big group of people, and it was a lot of fun. It was very time consuming for us, though.
Yeah.
So we're actually not participating in it this year, but Chad is participating in it again. And I don't think we're allowed to say what nope. he's doing. So
no.
So I won't announce that.
Yeah, don't give that away. But like, so how difficult is it to get into the masquerade?
You know what? To be perfectly honest, I wasn't involved with the actual application mm-hmm. process, so I would go to the San Diego Comic-Con website to look all that up.
I do think the applications for the, I believe, Masquerade applications are closed.
They're definitely closed by now.
Since this is happening in just a few days from now. The whole process of like putting, everybody puts together a performance. Like, is that just kind of what everybody knows to do now? If you're going to be on stage, you will put, have, you must bring your own music. You
right.
must
yes.
have yeah. some kind of choreograph or some kind of script of some short. Do they give you a limit on how long it should be?
Yeah, I think it has to be less than 5 minutes. It's pretty short. It's not, you can't just go on there for 45 minutes and have a whole presentation.
No, there are tons of people that they have to get through, and it's yeah. like it needs to be like boom, boom, boom.
Well, there were probably close to 20 entries last year.
Yeah.
That and the weird chant they do in between every single yeah. one.
Have you
one,
been to it?
Yeah. Two, three, ha, yeah. ha, ha, ha.
And then they add to that every time. Because it starts off with
yeah.
the count.
Oh,
it starts off with the count from Sesame yeah. Street, and then they add something every round. Mm-hmm. So it
who
turns
are the folks?
In,
who are the hosts of that every year? They're so funny.
Oh, they're great. And they're...
Oh, I don't remember the names.
I can't think of them off the top of my head.
And every year I've never been there. And yeah. they do the masquerade mm-hmm. at WonderCon as well.
Yeah.
And it's closed this year. If you want to attend the masquerade, you have to go get your tickets ahead of time on Saturday. I think mm-hmm. they start giving them out Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. They're going to have some overflow rooms, but it's also the night where Comic-Con puts out a lot of food. It's free food. They put out, you can buy some booze up there. They have a dance going on. It's a great night to celebrate cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a number of cosplay offsites. There's a number of cosplay events that are happening. There's a cosplay parties that are happening. As we wrap up here, what there's been a little, like, some people worry that cosplay may be overtaking the conventions, maybe overtaking Comic-Con. And some people think that's great. And I don't want to get into a big discussion about that here, but like, what do you attribute this explosive growth of cosplay? Because I think it is exploding. It's exploding mm-hmm. faster than probably people thought it was going to.
But I mean, it's, everything else is exploding too. Like, yeah, Comic-Con right. just has exploded yeah. in the last 10 years
right.
itself. So, I mean, of course, yeah. there are more cosplayers too. And the more information that gets out about it, the more people are talking about it, the more people realize, oh, well, I could do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you have people like me who put together something really cheaply and easily.
I will say there is something to be said for, I'm doing Wonder Woman this year from the Entertainment Weekly cover, the gold outfit. And when I put that on, there is something to be said about, like, feeling super powerful and mm-hmm. super just, like, yes.
Well, we got it.
Like, yes, oh, no,
queen.
No, but not this one. Not this one. Oh. The gold one from when she's still on Themyscira, before she becomes this version of Wonder Woman.
Nerd.
I know. I know. But, like, when I put that on, I was just like, man, I feel so awesome that she's a strong female character, and it's like, I want to represent that. And, like, she's there for me to look up to and for, like, all these other people to look up to. Mm-hmm. And then people who see it are going to recognize it and be like, you're that much into that, so am I. And then, boom, you make new friends.
Yep.
I think it has to do with, and I'm going to coin a term here, I think it has something to do with the Hasbro generation. Because a lot of us grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, yeah. when Hasbro, like, the big thing was, like, Hasbro was partnering with TV networks to produce cartoons and simultaneously sell the toys of the cartoons, and they would feed off each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us come out of that generation where we were just engrossed in toy and TV and comic book themed merchandise and entertainment.
Transformers.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Things that just went together.
Yeah. Micronauts.
Mask. Mobile Armored Strike Command. Yep. One of my personal favorites because my older brother. It was a little before me. But anyway.
My time.
And so I think that this generation now that's we're becoming in, you know, we're coming into our 30s and our 40s and even 50s now. That generation is kind of going back and saying, hey, we still like this stuff. Like, this is nostalgic for us, and we want to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that combined with the creativity and the work that and the satisfaction of creating something that goes along with cosplay, I think that is a credit to why cosplay and the Comic-Con kind of culture has exploded, which is really fun and great, and it's an ability to embrace not only entertainment, but a craftsmanship as well.
And speaking of craftsmanship, and just so we can separate the two, what's the difference between buying a costume and creating a cosplay?
Okay, so let me just say something, though. You can buy a costume, and that's perfectly fine. You can buy your cosplay, and that's perfectly fine. You can make it yourself, and that's fine. I'm just going to say, if you make it yourself, that's fantastic, but if you buy it from somebody and somebody else makes it for you,
that's cool.
You need to credit that person. That's my one thing is never take credit for something that you didn't create.
Right.
And you can show up in just a store-bought costume
Absolutely.
If you want to. That's, if you're just doing that for fun,
if you're
that's
just
cool.
doing it for fun, or you're going to club cosplay, or you just want to dress up or whatever, or if that's what you want to wear as your cosplay, no one's going to care. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just going to think, oh my gosh, you were brave enough and you put on a costume and you wanted to come out and hang with all of us.
Awesome.
That's rad.
Right. And as we wind down right here, what are some, I guess, guidelines for cosplay? For example, you know, the whole cosplay is not consent. Or taking pictures, if you want to have a picture. What are some of the kind of guidelines we should
always ask to take a picture with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's
ask
a big one.
Before you touch anything on them, because they might have very delicate armor that they spent hours crafting, and if you break off one of their horns, they're not gonna be happy.
Right. I think another thing that needs to be addressed, and this is something we ran into recently, there are a lot of people that are perhaps of a mental handicap. I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but I just want to be sensitive to that come to these conventions and love this stuff, and they're great, perfectly capable people on their own, but they might not pick up on so many social cues. So just be sensitive to that if you are a cosplayer, because I know we ran into somebody last year and you were like, whoa, and then you realized they were somebody who was special needs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you said, oh, okay, you know, I understand now, and you took a picture with them and it was perfectly fine
because I was like, oh, someone's touching me. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Nope, totally fine. That's the way you wanted to get my attention. That's fine.
Okay. But yeah, cosplay is not consent to just take pictures of girls' booties or guys' booties or whoever's booty you want to take a picture of. But always ask before you take a picture, and just be courteous. Use common sense and common courtesy, which is something that is lacking in today's society for some reason. But
which also goes for the cosplayer. I mean, be aware when you're swinging around a lightsaber. Don't hit people.
Yeah, that's
true. Hit people with your swords.
Oh, what about? Do you pay for pictures?
No.
Okay. Wait, there's a lot of people that show up. A lot of these cosplayers that just walk on the floor, and if you want to take a picture, that'll be $2.
I have never heard of that.
I've heard of it.
I think it's more common with people who've kind of made a name for themselves as cosplayers, and they have a special place set up, and you go and get pictures with them.
That's what I would say. If there's somebody behind
a
booth, that's a little different. If you're just walking around on the con floor...
I've never heard of you, I'm not going to pay you to get a picture with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
I'll just do without the picture.
And if you see somebody wearing a rad costume and you don't know who they are and they're just walking around like any other Joe, and they're like, oh, $5 for a picture, just don't get a picture with them, because that's not worth it.
All right.
That's how supply and demand works. They'll learn their lesson.
Right, exactly.
All right, this week is the San Diego Comic-Con. We hope to see you guys there. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have all kinds of cosplay, all kinds of exclusives. And I want to just personally thank our guests. We have a room full of cosplayers this week. Very, very thankful to have you guys. Where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter, @ConGuyDerek.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, @Tinker_Bree, B-R-E.
You can find me @BenKleever, B-E-N-K-L-I-E-W-E-R. It's very weird in German.
On the couch.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, @DNAYS.
And @LASamara.
And you can find me @theconguy.com. That's theconguy, D-O-T-C-O-M. Be following us on Twitter. Also, I am Conguy Jim on Twitter as well. We can't wait to see you guys. Come out to the AfterBuzz meetup, and we will see you
Can find us all Thursday night during Comic-Con.
That's right. at the meetup. All right, see you guys then. Have a great Comic-Con, folks.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.